Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Through that, didn't we? We got through that. Not pleasant. It was what's the word? Nasty. We saw a bad hombre on display last night at the pageant in Las Vegas, and. Yeah, I felt like I needed a shower with bleach after we were done. But God, in her own sort of reserved way, after a while it just looked like Hillary Clinton was standing there cutting Donald Trump just to watch him bleed. Well, I killed a man in Vegas. Yes, Labor Man, you're absolutely right. Labor Man in the chat room noting, Bob, what you saw was a jagoff. Yes, he is. And yes, he was. This is the horn for Thursday, the 20th day of October, 2016. If you'd like to be part of the multimedia real-time madcap zany extravaganza, just bebop right over to headonradionetwork.com and click on chat room and pick yourself out a screen name and a password where you and jump. You'll be right in there, and you will be happily met by the likes of Jug of Punch and Labor Man and Will in Chicago and Tim from L.A. and all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, having survived last night, has folded space once again, being a third stage guild navigator, to become Man Cave. Yes. I guess the best thing we can say about last night is it was the last one. And now we've got 19 days. 19 days more of this. And what? Oh, yeah, let me get this out of the way real quick because hopefully it will not. Hopefully it'll get relieved. Thanks to everybody who kept the fundraising hole from being deeper than it is. Our fundraising goal for this evening is $438.89. Glenn's 11 cents change last night persists, yea, verily, unto this moment. $438.89. And, it would be great not to have a $638.89 fundraising goal tomorrow. So if we can take a bite out of that, it would be nothing short of wonderful. Even miraculous if we could knock down all of that. Paid another bill today. Right. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. You dropped the ball on that again, Tim. You're slacking, buddy. But I am. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is the horn for the 20th day of October 2016. If you want to help keep things going, just run over to headonradionetwork.com, click on contribute. We always need new subscribers because we're still trying to get to the day when we've got 400 of them, and I don't have to do any of this anymore. I mean, not the program part, but the fundraising part. Because if we had 400 $10 a month subscribers, it would just take care of itself. But we don't, and we don't even have 100. So let's just click that little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation, and you'll be well on your way. Other than that, just fill out the forms, fill out the fields, leave the ones blank about what you're doing, where you do it, who you do it to. Get to the next screen where you make your choice between proceed with PayPal and proceed with credit card, and you'll be right in. And we'll be helping keep independent media going as it has been going for almost 11 continuous years now. It's anniversary week here at the Horn. We will be 11 years old on Monday, the 24th day of October 2016. And it is a real hope of mine that we don't go into More and Monday with a giant screaming deficit. So, $438.89 is the fundraising goal this evening. And if nothing happens, it'll be $638.89 tomorrow. All right. Well, welcome home. Carol Baker says, you're on and I'm home. All at the same time. What are the chances? She said, I skipped the debate and watched a documentary on the Hindenburg. What were the chances we both watched a gas bag go down in flames? Yeah, the thing is, only the one you were watching, somebody yelled, oh, the humanity. There was no humanity going down in flames last night, Carol. So I think you had the better of the two experiences. Because I damn sure didn't. And by the way, just by way of a sort of post-mortem on the whole thing, Chris Wallace turned out to be the best of the debate moderators. Granted, that is a very, very low bar. Someday they'll wise up and let Amy Goodman moderate one of those things, and then we'll find out some stuff. But not this year. No. I guess she's just too denigrous for the for-profit media. Yeah, Chris Wallace is the best of the moderators in the four that were scheduled, and that's not saying very much really at all. But he maintained something closer to control over Pumpkin Spice Hitler and. You know, it was almost like the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini had, instead of snorting the gross national product of Peru right before the debate started, that in fact he'd been hit with some mellowing agent. Yeah. Tim from L.A., I guess you missed it. The Hitler pool is turned off with regard to any references to Pumpkin Spice Hitler. Okay, that doesn't count. Other mentions do, but that doesn't. Just so you know. Now, Chris Wallace. The topics he chose were topics, I guess, that would be really appreciated by the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda crowd with which he is usually most familiar. But I knew that we were in for a bit of a bullshit fest when he asked the first question. Because the first question, right out of the gate, was, I want to ask you about the Constitution, and I want to ask you about how you'll go about selecting Supreme Court nominees. But the way he couched it, was by asking, is the Constitution a living document, or did the framers of the Constitution mean what they said? This is what is referred to formally as a bullshit false dichotomy. Because it can be both. Because it is both. There is not some split between whether the Constitution evolves with the society that it underpins, or is or whether the framers meant what they said. Because the framers put in an amendment process whereby the Constitution could be changed. Had they meant for the Constitution to remain a static document for all time, unable to respond to the needs of a growing and changing country, there would be no amendment process. But it is the very amendment process that makes the Constitution a living document. What the question basically did was to prop up the discredited bullshit argument most frequently and constantly and effectively, I guess, promulgated by fat dead Tony Scalia. And it's a hypocritical doctrine. It has meaning only when its proponents decide it needs to have meaning. And constitutional originalism says that if it didn't exist at the time of the framers, and then we cannot presume that the framers thought about it, and therefore. But it only applies to things that they want it to apply to. It, like I said, it's a selective doctrine of mass hypocrisy. Because the framers cannot possibly have had an original intent to build, say, a national system of limited access highways, the interstates, because then they certainly couldn't have intended for cars to drive on them. Because there was no car and no concrete or, heavy-duty asphalt road. And of course, the framers' intent is most often on display in regard to guns and, of course, the precious little fetuses. Because the framers didn't want no abortions. Or so they say. But when I heard that question, I knew that we were in for a ride. Once again, there was another reference to, what is it, the Pete Peterson outfit? The Center for Responsible Budget Priorities and Cat Food. And anytime that thing gets referenced, that outfit gets referenced, you know that the fix is in with the jerk asking the question. And so naturally it was right there. How are you going to keep Social Security from becoming insolvent? Because it's going to become insolvent. It has to die. It's collapsing under its own terrible weight. Only it's not. You know? I mean, as in not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to... Oh, what is the name? Because we really should know the actual, we should be cognizant of the actual name of the outfit so that your little bullshit alarms can go off any time that you hear it. Because these are, you know, these are people. This outfit, the Center for a Responsible Federal Budget, Center for a Responsible Federal Budget. Anytime you hear that, you know that somebody is trying to do some top notch granny starving. But of course, there is if they're still listening. There is within this little community a contingent of people for whom anything positive about Madam Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton is just proof of insufficient progressive credentials. But the fact of the matter is, one of the things that we worried about over the course of the primary season was that clip of Hillary Clinton saying that she could negotiate away portions of a woman's right to choose. She did not directly negate that last night, but she came close, because she did offer up a pretty thorough defense of Roe versus Wade. And then, like I said, because after a while, I think she was just nicking Trump with little cuts to watch him bleed orange. She'd say things like, "I don't believe the government needs to be in the lives of people making these most personal of decisions," thereby, you know, blowing a little bit of a tune on the dog whistle to the people who want small government and get the government off our backs. Yeah. I heard it. I'm pretty sure you did too. Her advancement of the no-fly zone idea in Syria. Yeah, I'm still not crazy about that one. I'm not a fan, because that smells an awful lot of like wanting to go toe to toe with the Ruskies, which I don't want to do. We don't need any more wars. We don't need to be in any more wars that we don't have to be in. And there's just a little too much opportunity for casus belli that could arise in such a situation. But you don't go into the election with the candidate you want. You go into the election with the candidate you have. And we've got either Hillary Clinton or Trumple Thinskin. Sorry. Just do. So, later in the program, if you wish, I'm certainly game for discussing your thoughts on the pageant. God, when it was over, and before it started, all the, will they shake hands? Will they?
Make them shake hands, Mommy.
Oh, no. And then when it ended, there were no handshakes there either. And somewhere along the way, there was that seminal moment in which he said, in which he, Trump, Benito Cheeto, said that we would all have to wait and see if he would accept the outcome of the election. Aye. And then in the after party, Kellyanne Conway dropped by CNN long enough to say, well, of course he's going to accept the outcome of the election because he's going to win. And then proceeded to run as hard as she could to get away from the question about, yeah, and if he loses? But he said, "I'm going to keep you in suspense. I'm going to keep you waiting. I want a suspense." And then, because it's what I had, because I was watching online, I watched the CNN after party, where various pro-Trump troglodytes, including, I didn't realize that Tommy Lahren from The Blaze has a twin over at CNN, but she apparently does. And they all declared that it was okay for Trump to say that he would wait about accepting the outcome of the election because Gore. Which was, you know, another one of those moments. You know, the, go and get me a peanut butter and banana sandwich, boy, and bring me the Elvis gun. I'm going to shoot the TV screen, or in this case, the monitor. Because, of course, no one on that panel could seem to recall that the nature of the Supreme Court challenge that was leveled was brought by George W. Bush and not Al Gore. Bush v. Gore. Remember? In which were contained the pleadings, petitioner Bush alleges that if the writ does not issue, he will suffer irreparable harm. But somehow, because Gore. Yeah. Bush. But that, you know, the Bush v. Gore thing does make things a little bit tricky, if you know what I mean. Especially in light of the fact that it was, you know, Bush who brought the suit. Petitioner Bush alleges that he will be irreparably harmed if all the votes are counted. And the fact that, you know, Florida had an automatic recount provision it had to happen. But all in all, the happiest thing we can say is that the debates are mercifully over, that there remain 18 days plus the rest of this one between now and the election, that even for the Jill people and the people who feel the Johnson, this will be a better country, or we will have at least bought ourselves time in a way sort of similar to the stumbling along of the Byzantine Empire of the about the 1000 CE era. We will have bought ourselves another 4 years as an empire. After that, who knows? Après la déluge. Right? So, you know, we can certainly talk about all of that when the time comes, when the lines are open and everything. It is, of course, Thorn in the Side Thursday, which is reserved for especially just stultifying moments of right-wing thought. Marty says, yeah, 18 days plus the rest of this one to cement the plan to get out to international waters. Right, right. But we've got some, we've got some Titanic intellect out there. I mean, you can't call it anything but Titanic intellect when you've got a Republican politician in Kansas doing things like, well, let me read you the quote, okay? Because you'll just love this. And we'll play a game of who said it. The receptivity of the masses is very limited. Their intelligence is small, but their power of forgetting is enormous. In consequence of these facts, all effective propaganda must be limited to a very few points and must harp on these in slogans until the last member of the public understands what you want him to understand by your slogan. This quote was cited with great approval by Kansas House Speaker Pro Tem Peggy Mast. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't a link, and then, okay, so, then Link, about an hour later, shared a post from an evangelical Christianist blog, and it was of an activist by the name of Gianna, G-I-A-N-N-A, Jessen, testifying at a congressional hearing about Planned Parenthood. And, of course, Gianna Jessen gets all worked up about the precious little fetuses. She's one of those people who wants the government meddling in women's uteri. Uteruses. And so, yeah, because it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. What Peggy Mast actually said was, great quote from Hitler in the video. Now, see, that counts. 6:28 p.m. Who had 6:28 p.m.? Damn it, Gerald! Great quote from Hitler in the video. Please listen to it closely. His words are profound. Let's start using discernment. One presumes that Republican there, Ms. Mast, a Republican from Emporia, Kansas, I guess we can presume that she understands messaging to her fellow Republicans. And she sure does like her some Hitler quoting. The Speaker of the Kansas House was appalled, to her credit, noting, I can't imagine how anything, how you could say any quote from Hitler was great. Not good, not perceptive, not, well, you know, he was an awful human being and he killed 11 million people, more than half of whom were Jews, and but you know, he understood the nature of propaganda. You I guess you could say something like that and not sound like a total asshole. But great quote from Hitler. I'm not so sure. No. But, you know, what do you want? Oh, meanwhile, Garrison Keillor has... We'll stay out in the heartland here for a minute. Garrison Keillor has retired from Prairie Home Companion. I actually heard the new host of Prairie Home Companion last week, and I don't know, maybe he'll smooth out the rough edges and settle in, but it just wasn't quite the same. Sounded like kind of a youngish hipster guy with a mandolin, but it was radio, so I couldn't see the mandolin. Or whether he was a youngish hipster guy. But the reason I mentioned Garrison Keillor is because he wrote something earlier this week suggesting that if he loses, and loses big, and loses huge in New York, Donald Trump should move to Nebraska, where he would be among people with whom he is more like-minded. Now, I looked at that and I thought, well, hell no, not Nebraska. No. Come on down here to almost level West by Coal, Oil, and Gas, Virginia, and you'll fit right in. We'll get you a pair of overalls with those reflective stripes and the going hunting safety orange on them, or the high visibility lemon lime green, and you can come on down, Donald. Because see, Garrison Keillor's argument was that Nebraska has a higher concentration of pro-Trump voters. But West Virginia takes very near to a no backseat at all in terms of Trump loving. And in point of fact, if you want to get away from the liberal elites, this is where you come to. I mean, you don't, because remember, it was years ago now, probably 10 years ago, when the news broke that Mel Gibson had bought a house for his daddy, Hutton Gibson, about 20 miles from where I'm sitting right now, because Hutton Gibson liked the idea of coming to West Virginia because it had so few Jews, and it only had hard-working white people, and I mean, these are Hutton Gibson's words. Everybody knows the Jew don't work, or doesn't work. Hutton Gibson being an unreconstructed, I presume now dead, anti-Semite. So, hey, kind of hard for me to invite Donald Trump to West Virginia. But, I mean, because we've already got pretty much our own version in Cornpone, in the form of Jim Kunta Kinte Justice, who is running for the office of governor here, and actually probably has more cash liquidly at hand than Donald Trump by maybe a factor of two or three. Yeah. I mean, in the last debate, Jim Justice talked about how they talk on the phone and his family is friends with their family, and it was pretty disgusting for a guy who is the Democratic nominee. No, Brother Deacon Asa, I did not finish the 1.75 gallon industrial strength drum of Cuervo. To be honest, my heart wasn't in it. I just felt like I I didn't feel like I. No, wasn't there for me. Nope. Hey, thanks going out. As we get started on trying to fill in the hole here in this anniversary week. Thanks going out to our dear friend Will in Chicago. The fundraising hole is now, or the fundraising amount is now $432.89. Thank you, Will. Thank you very, very kindly. Yeah, that's true. Jim points out with regard to propaganda in the Third Reich, Dr. Goebbels, too. Yep. But, you know, they are, well, that's that famous football coaching quote from Denny Green. They were who we thought they were. Yeah. Outrage all around the country today over the vote rigging business. Scott in San Diego says, I mailed in my California ballot on Monday, but if someone who is better at Photoshop than me comes up with an I rigged sticker, I'd still wear one proudly. See if you can get Billable Rick on this right away. I rigged. Nasty woman. Nasty woman. That came after she referred to, she said that's because Vladimir Putin would rather have a puppet in the White House, to which Demosthenes, like Trump, replied, no puppet, no puppet, you're the puppet! Oh, damn it, Carol, warn a guy. I've got a visual here for Bad Hombre Eau de Toilette, showing a shirtless Donald Trump riding on a horse behind a shirtless Vladimir Putin. For those times when just acting like a dick isn't enough, now you can smell like one. Bad Hombre by Trump Fragrances. Oh, the stupid. Bad Hombre Bad Hombre trended all over the Twitter sphere. I think there was a one meme from that I saw from what the Steve Martin Short vehicle, the Three Amigos. Chevy Chase, too, right? That was Chevy Chase, Martin Short, and Steve Martin. So, where do you want to take it this evening? I mean, I'm up for a number of, well, just about any conversation you want to engage in. I've got some stuff of my own. I'm sick to death of presidential politics. I'm sure you can imagine why. But being as how it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, let's take a moment and have a merry little chuckle over the punking of right-wing outrage media again. In this case, it was Well, there's a guy out there named Joey Salads. And he makes some kind of, some rather sketchy parody videos that he puts out as news. And in these videos, he sets them up to serve as bias confirmation for right-wing bigotry. So in this particular case, it was a video of a car with Trump stickers on it, which a group of scary black people approach and then beat the hell out of, breaking glass, bashing in windows, you know, ball batting, that kind of thing. Yeah, just a thorough vandalization job. And you see it and you go, oh my goodness! And over in right-wing hate media, the people like the Gateway pundit Jim Hoft says, oh my stars and garters! He wrote, they parked a car with Trump stickers in a black neighborhood to see what happens. It took 30 minutes before the Democrats started looting the car and beating out the windows. Matt Drudge picked it up and ran with it with a lot of breathless OMG-ing. Wingnut Daily picked it up. Western Journalism picked it up. Yeah. Three times this week. The Drudge and Hoff, the Gateway pundit, and other white wingers have been punked and suckered in on fake stories. They fell for a gag on Twitter by a guy named @RandyGDoug. He tweeted, I love working at the post office in Columbus, Ohio, and ripping up absentee ballots that vote for Trump. immediately set off alarms at Drudge and over there with the oxymoron Flush Flimball. They were absolutely certain that this was proof that the election was being rigged in Hillary's favor. They went wild over a joke photo of a guy holding 7 driver's licenses and saying, new fakes are in, ready to make Hillary president. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what do you expect? They're just that good. Determined journalists trying to protect the integrity of our electoral process. You know, except when they're not. Except when their legislatures are passing laws to try to keep people from voting, and in the case of North Carolina, admitting that the entire purpose was to keep a particular group of people, namely black people, from voting. Yeah, right. And so we got that. But it's hard to get away from one nasty little fact, and that is that we somehow managed to have yet another presidential debate without talking about climate change. or environmental issues generally. And this would have been a good week to talk about it. You've got the opposition to the Dakota Access Pipeline and the water protectors from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and their allies. That would have made a good question. But then, of course, Donald Trump would have Donald Trump probably would have said something disparaging about Native Americans. And, well, Chris Wallace couldn't have that, because most of his job last night seemed to be to normalize Trump even further. In advance of the debate, the editorial board of Bloomberg News said that silence, quote, on one of the most momentous and difficult issues facing their nation and the world is difficult to comprehend and harder to justify. Chris Wallace should make room for climate change in the discussion. Chris Wallace had no intention of doing so because, frankly, Chris Wallace doesn't give a damn about climate change. He's got his. Igumfu, you know? There was a heartbreaking story out of Nebraska relating to a pipeline. This one was carrying anhydrous ammonia. A farmer recognized that there was something wrong, and he went to investigate. And before he could get away from the pipeline leak, he had been overcome by the vapors, and he died. He was killed by a leaking pipeline. Ah, it's just one guy, right? No, it's not just one guy. It's one guy and his family and his community that will no longer have him in it. I don't know how the guy voted. I don't care. I don't know if he was pro-pipeline or anti-pipeline. I don't know if he was getting paid for the pipeline to be able to run across his land, or if they took it by eminent domain and then just paid him, you know, whatever the court said was fair. All I know is he's dead. And he was killed by a leaking pipeline. Because, you know, when you spend money on things like pipeline safety, that's money you're not making and paying to the, you know, the hoity-toities at the top of the pyramid scheme. And then, yes, what we mentioned last night, I mentioned in conversation with Todd, the coal ash disaster on the News River in North Carolina, not far from Goldsboro, where even the trees have been turned white by a coating of coal ash, which sort of indicates that something horrible probably happened during the Hurricane Matthew. Somehow or another, though, we had time to talk about entitlements last night, but not the poisoning of various portions and segments of both country and population. Turns out that if you live in the Jordan Downs public housing complex in Watts in L.A., chances are you're being poisoned there. It's built on and near a toxic waste site. Yeah, an old steel mill and steel processing plant and truck mechanic operation with massive concentrations of lead, arsenic, cadmium in the soil, in which on which the public housing complex is built. Yeah. The L.A. Human Right to Housing Collective has been investigating since at least 2012. And, it turns out at the time they purchased the land in 2008, the housing authority there in L.A., there were still old fuel, oil, and gasoline storage tanks all over the property. And oil had been spilled all over the place. Hakla spent $31 million to buy the factory site. Full environmental testing of the soil would have cost about $10,000. They didn't spend it. Underneath the ground there are two plumes of contaminated water. One of them is contaminated by gasoline, and it is allegedly being cleaned up by ExxonMobil, but the other is an orphan plume. No responsible party's been identified, and so it's just sitting there poisoning the underground. So the activists had to do the testing themselves. They used an X-ray fluorescence spectrometer to do soil testing at 104 spots in the Jordan Downs public housing neighborhood. All 104 tested spots came back with very high levels of lead. Half of them over 80 parts per million. About a third of them over 100 parts per million. One sample at 346 parts per million. 80 parts per million is the threshold at which the state of California says one should be concerned about lead poisoning. Yeah, Carol, you're probably right. Oh, for fuck's sake, Bob, no one cares if we thin the herd when it comes to the wrong coloreds and the poors. It ain't Beverly Hills, baby. Nope, it's not. Cadmium, mercury, antimony, arsenic. And, you know, poor people. All those things are in coal ash, too, by the way. No word yet on when or if or how a cleanup will be attempted on the News River in North Carolina. Haven't seen any responses from the pipeline company after they killed a man in Nebraska, either. But starting with the debates in 2012, there has been no question about climate change in any presidential debate. Two weeks ago, Paul Krugman in the New York Times said that continuing to ignore climate change would be, quote, almost criminally irresponsible. Yeah. If there's a conspiracy to be had, that's the one that feels like a conspiracy. Lester Holt came from NBC. Martha Raddatz came from CBS, I think. Anderson Cooper from Chicken Noodle News, of course. Chris Wallace from Fox. And I forget where Elaine Quijano came from. But they're all separate organizations. They've all got their own internal structures. They've all got their own agendas. And yet somehow they all managed to come to the conclusion that climate change was not worth discussing in a presidential debate. I mean, is that a little weird to you? Is that a little more than... Damn, it feels like it's a lot more than coincidental. Ah, thanks, Scott. Elaine Quijano is at CBS News, or CBSN. I recognize my own biases, and I recognize my own bubble, and maybe I pay attention to these things a little bit more than some others. But how does one utterly ignore an issue that is undeniable? Well, I don't know. Maybe Chris Wallace. Maybe. Really, Anderson Cooper is Anderson Vanderbilt Cooper is a climate science denier. Elaine Quijano is a climate science denier. Martha Raddatz and Lester Holt are climate science deniers. I find that difficult to credit. So why? Why was the entire subject of the environment, you know, in which we humans have to live, completely ignored? And why has it been ignored since 2012? Why was the last climate change question asked in 2008? Are they afraid the right wing will call them, you know, names or something? Yeah, I know. Asa says, so what if the water table's contaminated with lead? It's only a couple of IQ points, Bob. Famously remarked in Michigan, if I recall correctly. I mean, we're not that far removed from the poisoning of 300,000 people in West Virginia a couple of years back, 2.5 years back now. That case is still going on, thanks to the he's going to get a Pulitzer one of these days reporting of Ken Ward. We know, for instance, that Eastman Chemical, who manufactured the methyl cyclohexane methanol, if it's good enough to clean coal, it's good enough for me, said the West Virginia Coal Association at the time of the disaster. Eastman Chemical destroyed a load of MCHM that was meant to be shipped to Freedom Industries. And, of course, that prevented their... that prevented effective testing from being done on the crude substance. Kevin Thompson represents the residents and businesses in a lawsuit in U.S. District Court. And according to his pleadings, Eastman Chemical, quote, destroyed the last best evidence of the chemical previously stored in the tank that failed. Uh-huh. Because they're suing Eastman Chemical, and the lawyer wants sanctions against Eastman Chemical for spoliation of the evidence. But water in Flint, water in West Virginia, poison in Flint, poison in West Virginia, coal ash dump disaster events on the Clinch River, on the News River, and various and sundry others. Children poisoned by breathing fracking fumes. None of this, not a damn bit of it, makes it into a presidential debate. But we can, of course, talk about whether the pores, the old pores, need a righteous screwing from Pete Peterson's outfit. Yeah, thanks for nothing, Chris Wallace. Thanks for nothing. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. Like I said, we've got $432.89 to raise for to keep the program on the air. Yeah, emails coming in from Ron and Raleigh. Coal ash? We don't have no stinking coal ash. As far as the coal ash pits overflowing into the News River, Duke Energy says that the amount of overflow could fit into the bed of a pickup truck, and it was the non-toxic material. That from the former employer of Grin and Pat McCrory. Non-toxic coal ash. Because that's a real thing. Not so much. Nothing to see here. This is not the coal ash you were looking for. Jack in Shreveport says, Hillary's been treading water or pandering for right-wing votes, so bringing up climate change would only lose right-wingers. She's already got the people on the left. Trump had no reason to bring it up. He would have to say it's a hoax on the national stage. The media wants energy company ads, so there you go. Nobody wealthy wants to talk about it. I read an article in the New York Times the other day about some rich loon up east. He's a Republican, but he's an environmentalist. And he believes in climate change. He thinks climate change is real, but he is a first-rate Trumpansy, and he doesn't think the government needs to do anything about climate change, even though it's real. The market needs to handle it. Don't need no job-killing regulations. Sheesh. You know? Marty says, speaking of Lester Holt, did you hear the story of the morons who sent angry tweets to Chicago Cubs pitcher John Lester, thinking he was Lester Holt? As we keep saying, says Marty, the stupid is strong with these people. Strong indeed. All right, we'll take a break. Thanks, Ralphs. Ralphs just jumped in and saved me the ciphering. We are now down to $400 to go in fundraising for the evening. Thank you very kindly. Ralphs, thank you very much indeed for that $32.89. Yay. I don't know if we've had loose change lay around in the fundraising goal for as long as that one did last night. Thank you very much indeed, Ralphs. So, you know how to reach the program if you want to engage in some conversation. The stress line is 304-663-4676. That's 304-663-HORN. The other line, which we just call the other line, is 304-574-8178. And then, of course, from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. And any of them will get you through to the program. I look forward to the conversation. Maybe you've got something far more interesting than anything I brought up thus far. Let's find out. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. of hard to resist that. 10 minutes past the hour. Long-distance dedication going out to Chris Wallace there at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda from all of us here at the Horn. Yep. By the way, Tim pointing out that you're not necessarily even safe in Beverly Hills, because Beverly Hills High School, their athletic fields sit right next to a working oil patch. And people have been sickened and died, they believe, from exposure to the toxins therein and thereat. Yep. Let's run over and check in with Laurel in the far reaches of Southwest Minnesota. Good evening, Laurel, and good evening to LT. Laurel. Hello? You're on the air. No? Nothing? In the far reaches of Southwest Minnesota.
Wow, there's some delay.
Good evening to LT.
Good evening, Bob. LT says hi. When he gets around to it, he'll say hi.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been... Oh, hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I do now, but whatever it is you're listening to, you've got to turn down.
Hello?
Yeah, you're there.
Can you hear me? Oh, not muted. Okay.
Okay, good. But whatever it is you're listening to, you've got to turn down.
I'll try again. Try again.
No, you're there. Oi. You're on. You're on.
Hello? Hello? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do now, but whatever it is you're listening to, you've got to turn down.
Okay. Oh, I'm on your radio. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have to battle myself now, ain't I?
Okay, good. But whatever it is you're listening to, you've got to turn down.
Okay. Oh, shoot. Let me...
No, you're there.
Yeah. If I mute the Skype button... If I mute... Okay. I don't want to mute the Skype because then I'll shut myself off live. It's always fun debating yourself, by the way. I've found those are the most instructive debates I ever have.
I usually lose.
Yes, LT's debating himself, too. Okay. I don't want to shut this off without losing the Skype, though. Okay. Let me. Yeah. If I mute the Skype button. This is making excellent radio, isn't it? Let me try again here.
Okay. In the meantime, we will run over to the stress line where I think we've got Todd. Is that you, Todd?
Hey, Bob. Yeah. I just want to. I don't talk to you yesterday. I'm not going to.
That's okay. It's fine. Neighborly.
But anyway, I didn't know it was anniversary week. Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you.
Will the day fall on, in the week proper?
Yeah, Monday.
Wow.
11 years old on Monday and a total of 12 plus years back in the broadcasting gig.
Wow. Well, America's a better place for you, for it. I mean, I have to say that the main reason I called is, I tuned in on time today. You made the most succinct argument I've ever heard about that jackass. I wasn't going to curse, but fuck him. That jackass Scalia. In terms of this made-up shit with this originalist bullshit, okay? And I know I'm being crude now. I should be talking like I'm at work, but fuck that. He was such a disgusting piece of shit. I've told you this before. I think he's one of the three worst people in the past probably 100 years in the world. But
you can certainly imagine him back in 1848 voting in the majority with Chief Justice Taney in the Dred Scott decision, can't you?
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, that's what the originalism of the framers would suggest that, well, you know.
There's so much we could do with that, right? Oh, my God.
It's too far and too deep into the cesspool for an hour and 16 minutes into the program.
And then his snark, he was so...
Oh, he was shitty. He was shitty.
What a dick. I mean, seriously. I mean, you're supposed to respect these people, but what a dick.
Well, okay. You know? Here, let's do that professionally. Hang on.
You dick!
Better?
Thank you, Spicoli.
You know... And I like on C-SPAN, you know, they started carrying the, you could hear the oral arguments. So right before he died, University of Texas, that decision, you could hear it. And he was like, well, if the blacks can't make it, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, if the colored people can't, make the grade at University of Texas, maybe they don't feel comfortable. Maybe they should go to the black schools. So, you know, that combined with him having the gall to talk about Sotomayor being an activist judge, you know, when she was being nominated through the process. Well, we don't know. She might be a little too active. Like, well, what the fuck are you? What the fuck are you? You're a weirdo. You made up shit. You're not even going by precedent. Ugh, disgusting.
I know.
So this is my question, though. Now that he has started this nonsense and people believe it and they're parroting this, no offense to Scott's bird, has he set precedent with this nonsense?
It's a real thing. It's a movement. I mean, the Federalist Society prays toward his tomb every day and prays for more originalist judges.
Yeah. I don't.
And
it really
needs to be stamped out as utterly discredited for the giant hoax and intellectual fraud that it is.
That's it, Bob. I'm telling you. I'm writing down. I'm gonna go back to the show tonight because you, like I said, that argument you made was so succinct. You said it in four sentences. You explained what nonsense that. That is,
it all started with that first bullshit question that Chris Wallace asked last night. is the Constitution? I mean, I had and maybe it doesn't do what it does to me to other people. I'm pretty sure that if Dr. Bill heard that last night, he went and kicked furniture for a while. Is the Constitution a living document? Or did the framers mean what they wrote?
Yeah, see that.
I mean, what kind of goddamn intellectual laziness is that? Well, it's the Fox that, kind. I mean, but you know.
You know, right? But you know, honestly, Chris, now I have to admit. Now you know me. I love listening to both sides, all sides, and I listen to the Sunday morning programs via C-SPAN because there are no commercials. You know, you can't see it. I don't know. I listen on the radio, so there's no commercials. But anyway, he has been, in the past few years, he's been pretty fair. I have to say this. For Fox News, he hasn't been that. He's almost as fair as, what's the guy on NBC who took over the show with the red hair, who softballs questions?
Oh, Joke Toad?
Yes, right. Because Chris surprises me sometimes. You know, like most of the time, you know where he is, but I'm just saying. But, you know, I think he's a little bit slow. Just a little bit. I don't know. Like maybe he had one too many blonde hits at the wrong time or something. I don't know. Just be in that position. You know, I'm often very critical. But that's the sense I get. But you know, that you don't start off with a question like that. That's a treatise. What the hell is that shit? You don't ask a question like that. What the fuck is he? What is he thinking about?
Well, what he was doing was he was propagandizing. You can ask the question. What are you, because the question went on. That was just a clause in front of the question. The question went on to be, what kind of criteria are you going to have for appointing Supreme Court justices? And what about the precious little fetuses? And, you know, late-term abortion, which is another one of those things, Todd, that drives me through the damn roof. Okay? None of these fulminating assholes have ever dealt with a situation where a late-term abortion is either considered or recommended. Okay? Instead, right, they just pornographically, intellectually masturbate over it because it gets them off thinking about it. And I don't know why. My mind doesn't work that way. But when a woman, and Hillary tried, I give credit where credit is due. In as short a space as possible, she tried to explain that a late-term abortion happens because something has gone desperately wrong in a pregnancy. Okay, but the right wing wants to create, because they're so obsessed with women's reproductive rights, they want to create this notion that, that there's this welfare queen out there and she's 8.5 months pregnant. And she decides she don't want to have the baby. So she just goes into the abortion mill and they pull the baby out and they stab it in the back of the head with scissors and they kill it. They kill the precious little fetuses, which is just bullshit. It's just a giant steaming goddamn mountain-sized mound of bullshit. Sorry, not yelling
at
you.
You sound like me now, Bob. Damn, you sound like me. My God.
And because usually what's happened is the mother's life will be at hazard if she tries to pass the baby. Or if she even tries to have the baby. Or the baby, or the baby will be dead inside her, and they have to induce the labor.
Right.
And it's heartbreaking. But instead, these goddamn right-to-life Republicans are walking around with their hands in their own crotches, digitally manipulating themselves. Ooh, late-term abortion, partial birth abortion. Ooh! And they do it on the floor of the House of Representatives and in the well of the Senate. And presidential campaigns, their presidential candidates do it out on the hustings. Ooh, partial birth abortion. Ooh!
Like it's a national crisis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. Because they must really think that women have, it's not just a woman. It's whoever, it's a family. It's your person, whoever you're with. It's more than one person, but they act like these women are having a damn abortion party. Like, oh, let's go get drunk and let me have my abortion. We'll go party. You know, what the fuck, man? They're fucking sickos. I've been through that shit. That shit is not fun. That shit is no fucking party. And you hear these people talk about it, like, they're baby killers. Well, you know what? If it's a baby killer, then why doesn't your birthday start 9 months prior to your goddamn birthday? How about that?
Well, I've thought about that, but you really can't pinpoint usually the moment of conception. And I'm kind of glad because I think, if I'm not mistaken, if we did it with me, my birthday would be April Fool's Day. So I can't take that much fucking irony, Todd.
You're making this stuff, man. Stop it.
No. No, I think I was the result. You know, nobody likes to think about their parents having sex. We're all immaculately conceived, and we're all just little religions waiting to be formed. But no, yeah, Mama and Daddy got it on, and I think I was birthday sex on my mother's birthday.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. I think that's a beautiful thing. But yeah,
but her birthday was the last day of March. And so, assuming my dad maybe, like, got home off the 4 to 12 shift at about 1:30 in the morning on the morning of April the 1st, yeah, I'm probably an April Fool's baby. Which would make a hell of a lot of sense, taking everything all together.
Wow. Well, I remember, I could... Well, I'm going to get into that. These people are, and it's such a personal thing. I mean, it's not easy. These people are strange. They're just weirdos. I don't know where to get off with that because it's such a personal decision. And that's the whole thing about America. You're supposed to have freedom, right? They always talk about freedom. You know, as long as they have a gun, they're okay. you know. So the other thing I wanted to just touch on really quickly, maybe you can correct me, but it seems to me that they were allowed out there, out in the West, in the Lakota Territory, to restart that pipeline 20 miles from the lake. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. It is true.
Let me ask you something. See, I have a. This is. You know, once again, I'm trying to take emotion out of it, take the politics out of it. Well, maybe not the politics, but doesn't it seem like maybe people should just take a deep breath and say, well, you know, actually, at one point, it was legislatively proper for us to kill the Indians, move them around, put them on these fucked up reservations, starve them, give them diseases. So maybe if they say they don't want the pipeline, maybe can't we just do something different? I mean, that's civility. Am I off base here?
No, you're not. And Todd, let's remember something too, please. You know, I've said in the past that the Supreme Court gets stuff wrong more often than they get things right, and that's probably a very subjective standard. But consider that the court has in the past ruled that it was okay to steal land from Indians because they weren't Christian.
Yeah, that's nonsense. We're supposed to be devoid of religion here, right? It's not supposed to matter.
But I mean, it's there. You can go and read it.
That is insane.
It's shocking. It's a case from like the 1880s. Long about the time that they were entering that footnote in the Santa Clara versus Union Pacific that said corporations are people too, my friends.
Well, that's my biggest kick now. That's one of the reasons that's the first time I signed on to MoveOn.org is because the Citizens United decision. We have that shit has got to go. I'm sorry. That asshole is dead, and that is a ridiculous verdict. That makes no sense at all. I mean, it defies logic. You know, we can't have that. And then I heard you talking about the Neuse River. And, you know, I was talking about New Bern last night because, you know, I had to take the old people. They wanted to go up there. You know, I try to accommodate them. I'm a caretaker, so when they want to go somewhere, they can't drive. I have to drive. So they're not going to be around that much longer. So I take them where they want to go. So we were out there in New Bern, right? So you have to cross the area. Like I was saying last night, that is an awful, awful thing with this coal ash because that land is unbelievably lush. I mean, these people will not be happy until everything is just messed the fuck up. I mean, at some point, you got to say stop because that shit is like nuclear waste except it's ash.
Oh, no, it's radioactive, too. Did you not know that?
Pardon me?
It's coal ash is radioactive, too.
Oh, well, there you go. No, I didn't know that.
Hell yeah.
Damn.
Because coal's radioactive.
That's the cherry on top, huh?
Yeah.
Good grief. Hey. So now, wait a minute. We had that one that burst 2 days ago. I was reading the paper here in Conway is Myrtle Beach, like inland.
Right? Yeah.
And so that one breached. So, you know. I don't know, man. It's,
but God forbid we talk about any of this in a national goddamn presidential debate, right, Todd?
Yeah. And you know what's sad? It's very sad that this is playing out just exactly as the credible meteorologist and scientist said it would. Superstorms, right? A trending curve of impending bad weather. Like last year, the floods we had here, once-in-a-thousand-year flood. Then the same month, 1 year later, we have this hurricane and all these floods in the same place in South Carolina, you know. So,
well, the things like climate change and the sea level rise that goes with it, you know, it's not like you wake up one morning and it's happened. They are both gradual processes, and that's what makes it possible for human beings to pretend it doesn't exist. But what we are witnessing, like with the superstorms and the disappearing, what we're witnessing is the gradual disappearance of the coastline of places like the Gulf Coast of Texas and Louisiana, Alabama and Mississippi and Florida,
yep.
the Atlantic
yep.
coast of Florida, and God
Miami,
knows the Atlantic coast of Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina are you know they're moving inland, and when you poison low country river estuaries like the news, then you've got the sea encroaching inland, and you got poison flowing outward. That's gonna work just real great.
And that's why I brought up, well, you brought it up first, but that's why I want to emphasize about the Neuse River area is that, like, you know, these are just words. We're talking, but to drive through there, I mean, I'm making this point.
That'll make you cry.
You talk about good, you know, like I like to garden, okay? I'm a city guy, but I like the soil. And I know good soil. You smell soil, and it has a certain smell. You can look at it and feel it. And you know what good soil is? It's dark, and it has an earthy smell, and it's full of microbes and biomes, and it's just good, right? So when you destroy that, you're fucked, you know?
Well, I mean, here's my question. Is the ability of people to live in certain parts of the United States without being poisoned to death, isn't that at least nominally on a par with whether or not we're going to ask people to work until they're 90 before they can collect Social Security? I mean, aren't those things at least roughly equivalent?
Not even close, because it won't matter. You can't grow food, or your soil's poisoned and your water's poisoned. I mean, look, come on. I'm being facetious, but yes, you're right. But look. Did we ever think that we'd be paying $1 a gallon for potable water?
Well, no.
See, remember Waterworld. That movie got terrible reviews, but guess what? Maybe he knew what the fuck he was talking about. You know, this is getting people. You know, we're the frogs in the pot. So I'm really believing in this breakaway civilization thing. I think the folks that have the money, that's why they're stealing so much money so fast from the stock market. Because they're either planning on going and maybe they already have some stuff going on in Mars or the moon or whatever. And they're going underground in the Ozarks. They've already got these places set up. Because they know this shit is fucked up. You know,
well, don't you remember what the Bush family did? Toward the end of the Reign of Error, when they went down to, what was it, the border area between Paraguay and Bolivia, and bought a bajillion
right.
acres of pristine land.
Right.
Remember
right.
that?
Self-sustainable, yep. They got everything they need there, yep. Yep. And, you know, that's interesting territory down there, you know, that lower tip. You know, you start getting into southern South America, you know, like you say, the Patagonia area, you know. It's not far from there. Is that, am I right? Am I wrong? What?
Oh, I think we're talking about north a couple of thousand miles.
Oh, a couple thousand. That's a lot. Okay. Well, yeah. I must have misunderstood you. But, but there could be a lot of reasons for that. So you mean like southern Brazil? Is that what you're talking about? Because it kind of broke up for a minute.
Yeah, there's a border area between Paraguay and Bolivia.
Oh, Paraguay and Bolivia. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, that's the Andes. Okay. That's the lower Andes, actually, well, Bolivia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. That's where they were actually, oh, my God, that's a terrible story. It's, you know, this is not a conspiracy. I don't know what company it was, but they made it illegal for folks to collect rainwater there. They were taxing the water. They were not even allowing people to collect their own water. And I'm not making this up, you know. So we're in different times, you know. These folks, like you said, they want it all. They want it all, man. There's enough for everybody. There is enough for everyone, and we haven't even gotten onto the vertical gardening thing, which we're probably going to have to do at some point. But, you know, nobody talks about that. But our soils are becoming toxic. And by the way, stay away from cheap white wine. When I say not even cheap, just stay away from white wine, because apparently, unless you're spending like $100 a bottle on white wine, where the way it's grown, there's a lot of lead in the soil. And this is on Mike Papantonio's site, you know, the litigation lawyer. And it's called taintedwine.com. So be careful, because, you know, most people, well, we all the listeners know this, you know, lead builds up in your body. You can't really get rid of
it. Yeah, yeah, so, it's bioaccumulative.
Right. So stay
well,
away.
I'm not a big wine. Well, I'm not a wine drinker at all, really. I mean, once in a very great while, if I'm sitting down to a really, really nice quality hunk of beef, nice and medium rare, like a, you know, like a 2-inch thick ribeye kind of thing. I'll have a big old beefy glass of Pinot Noir. But as white wines go, the white wine that I, the only white wine I much care about